Well, in some ways, it is a good thing. It shows that the country has progressed and matured over the last 50-odd years since we've attained self-governance. But it does bring with it its own challenges in terms of the reliance that we previously would have had on development assistance will no longer be available from some of our traditional quarters. And it just means that the Cook Islands has to look at a different way of engaging with our development partners, have a look at a different way of doing business, more based on a mutual benefit basis rather than on a traditional donor and recipient basis.
I think Cook Islands joins a fairly small select group of Pacific Island countries that are officially developed. I think New Caledonia would be one, and possibly Palau as well, maybe Nauru. It's actually quite a feather in the Cook Islands cap to get to this status, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Although the OECD's Development Assistance Committee criteria for determining graduation is based solely on income, on gross national income, for a country like the Cook Islands, which has a very narrow economic base, that level of prosperity is primarily driven by our tourism sector and also to a lesser extent our fisheries sector. But it does mean that for an island country like ours, the unit cost of delivering services that government is obliged to do in terms of health, education, welfare and so forth, there is a higher unit cost in doing that than you would for a country on a similar level of prosperity that's not so spread out across the ocean.
Well, that is the geographical fact of life for the Cook Islands. It's very widely spread over a massive space of ocean, and it costs a lot to just transport goods. So per capita gross national product doesn't tell the whole story, does it?
No, it doesn't. We're a country that's 99.99% ocean, but of those small pieces of land, the 15 islands that we've got spread around the Cook Islands, you know, we've still got to maintain 10 airstrips, we've got to maintain 12 ports, we have to maintain power generation individually, hospitals, clinics, schools, etc. The cost of putting a cable for telecommunications, you know, to the Cook Islands would be the same as it is for a cable to a country like New Zealand. But spreading that cost over a much, much smaller population means we do incur significantly more cost. But that's where the Cook Islands has been innovative in terms of its financing, in terms of its financial management, to put us in the position where we are today. So although, yes, there are challenges, I think for the Cooks it's something to celebrate as well, that as a country after 52 years of self-governance, we are going to be declared as a developed nation.
I remember a few years ago when Samoa was being promoted, I think, from least developed status to developing, and they weren't very happy about this because it meant they had to, you know, pay extra interest on their loans and they weren't getting access to as much development assistance. They were trying to argue the toss and said, no, we're actually not that good at all. It didn't work. Is the Cook Islands taking a similar approach, or are you saying, okay, well, we're developed, we'll cope with it?
Yeah, I think we've accepted this, that we are at this stage now. For us, the amount of development assistance that makes up our overall budget has been decreasing significantly over a number of years. So we are becoming more and more accustomed to having to pay your own way in certain development agendas. But the way we do business now in terms of our development policy and our development priorities is to look at a mix of financing. So blended financing is the key for us in terms of what has been traditional development assistance, increasingly now climate financing, and our own money and our own ability to borrow money. So utilizing that mixture plus engaging with the private sector, we've been able to reduce that dependence over a period of time from development assistance. But that's not to say that it will be felt. Certainly there are a number of smaller grassroots programs that now our country would have to foot the bill for that were previously paid for by development partners.
Is there anything in the Cook Islands example that other Pacific countries might be able to learn from in their path, perhaps from developing to developed status?
I guess for us, you know, having a good solid platform in terms of prudent fiscal management really does lay the basis for this. Successive budgets, we've been required to produce either a balanced or surplus budget. Investment in infrastructure has to try and provide some sort of a return to allow for its repayment if it's through borrowing. And as I said, being innovative in how we look at financing certain projects, engaging former traditional partners under different means of engagement, increasing the involvement of private sector. These are all the steps that a country needs to do in order to progress forward in terms of its development.